Welcome to the True Fitness Academy Podcast.
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 Your source for the truth in health and fitness. Now here are your podcast personal trainers, Keon and Tyler.
Welcome to the True Fitness Academy Podcast. I'm Keon.
And I'm Tyler.
We're your podcast personal trainers for today, Thursday the 28th of January. Getting close to the end of the month. Very exciting times. As always here at the podcast, we have a great show for you today.
Amen.
Lined up. Piggybacking off yesterday, real quick story, then we'll jump into today's topic. So yesterday we were talking about motivation, pretty much.
Yes.
Focus and just pulling your head out of your ass and going for your goal.
Yes.
I was at the gym last night and I had taught a class. And I was hanging out with some of my friends at the club. And they asked me to give a couple tours of the gym and help some people out. And I was like, I really should probably get paid for this, right?
Yeah.
I was not being paid for that. But in retrospect, I was helping one lady out. She was just getting back to the gym. She was probably, she was overweight and she knew it. And we were talking about why she came back to the gym and all these things. And she had just gotten over a year-long battle with low platelet counts in her blood system. So she had to take, like, steroids, prednisone, prednisone, all these, like, the zones and all this stuff. And so she was bloated, bulbous, all this stuff because of those medications. And she put on, like, she was kicking butt. She dropped 75 pounds before the event, and then over the last year had put on 40.
Okay, which happens often with, like, large medical situations like this.
Absolutely. And now she's got sciatic pain, she's starting to get knee trouble, which, I mean, it's one of those things you can kind of, you can predict what injury is typically going to come next after certain things happen. So a massive gain in weight over a period of time will typically result in some sort of back issue, which is, I mean, can it result in a sciatic issue? Sciatic issues can oftentimes result in a knee issue.
Yes.
So she, I mean, displayed a definite pattern, but she was like, you know what, I'm gonna do whatever it takes. Like, I'm so motivated to do this. I'm gonna start in the pool, and I'm gonna come, you know, upstairs and just kick some ass. I'm ready for it.
Nice.
And I was like, that is the greatest outlook ever, because we're like talking about how it's not a race and blah blah blah, but she's like, I don't care if I'm competing against anyone else, I'm competing against me, and I'm going to do this. I was very impressed.
And a lot of people like that, where they're overweight, have medical issues and aspects like that, in the competitive concept of it, I feel like they're competing against themselves in the sense that if they don't, they'll die.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, so it's that not fun aspect, but it's that nice competitive drive of, it's either this or die.
Yep, I mean, absolutely. And you have to remember, if you haven't been listening to this podcast for a while, Tyler and I have come from chubby backgrounds. We are not always fit people. So we know what it's like to have to lose a lot of weight.
Yeah, oh yeah.
We know what it's like to be the fat kid. So I didn't mean more so than you, right?
Yeah. True.
I went through that a little bit more. But regardless of that, we both know that it sucks to have to lose a lot of weight, but it's really possible. So just wanted to piggyback and encourage people to...
Story, like, that's it's entertaining because you go from Dwayne The Rock Johnson, who is physically
right,
very fit.
A massive, too, Julie.
Yeah, the ginormous. And then to the person, right, that you were just talking about, two different aspects, but they still see it the same way.
Right. All right. So, today's topic, what we're going to talk about today is shoes. Tyler works in a shoe store, so he knows all about shoes.
Shoes.
He knows just all about, Brass Lady Pumps?
No, yeah,
I don't know.
I'm just pulling
stuff out of my butt.
But yeah.
Okay, so as an overview, you have really three kinds of shoes.
Three, let's go.
High support, low support, minimalist support. That's about it.
And there's actual names for those more than that.
Right, but I'm just saying those are the typical genres.
Those are the typical genres, but those are broken up. So the minimal is what?
Minimal would be like the Nike Free or the Vibram Five Fingers.
Yes.
The shoes that I really like.
Those ones are quite popular. I work at Nordstrom's. Let's just pull that curtain away. I work at Nordstrom's in the what's called BP Shoes. It's like...
Brass pump shoes.
Yeah, it's...
Right?
Yeah, we're basically trendy, low-cost shoes, and we're all the athletic shoes, which is where I spend most of my time, is in the athletic shoes. But there's the very minimalist shoe, like, support shoe, whereas the Five Fingers, which I think we talked about before on the podcast.
I think we mentioned it, yeah. They're my personal favorites.
Basically, it's like plastic that's been melted to fit around your foot a little bit.
Yeah, imagine, like, dipping your foot in... little layer of plastic, and ta-da!
Yeah, wrapping it in cloth and dipping it in plastic, there's your five-finger shoe.
Right, it's like a glove for your foot.
Well, and that's basically, the glove for your foot is how I describe the Nike Free every time I sell one to somebody.
Right.
It's a glove for your foot, it's perfect for running, and you're good to go.
Yeah. And yes, there's a high debate in, as to minimal support versus high support, so we're gonna brief over that a little bit today. But continue, Tyler, please. Oh, I caught you in a yawn.
Sorry. Then you go into the more, they call it neutral support. Basically, that is for people that have very flat feet, or thus are flat feet. There's just, in the padding of the sole of the shoe, there's no arch, is basically what that. There's no, like, defined arch for your arch of your foot to lay on. Does that make sense?
Right. I thought those shoes were for people who had an arch, since, like, for I've always been given, since I've had flat feet in the past, they gave me high support shoes, and it was a big arch there.
See, we always sell the arch to people that have arch, and the people that don't have arch, no arch, because if you're running and you have a giant arch shoved up your flat foot...
Uh-huh.
That's uncomfortable, first and foremost.
Right.
And if you have it, we'd rather correct it in other ways than using it the foot.
Okay. I mean, that's just not what I've heard from other people, so.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's kind of that I sell so that you feel comfortable in the shoe, and then you work out in it.
Okay.
Instead of, I'm not here to correct people's feet issues. If you want to correct your foot issue, then I would probably go to a doctor and get, like, a sole insert. So thus, you can get any shoe you want. That's the other fun part that I feel like nobody really understands, is I have women daily come in and they're like, I have bad arches, da-da-da, I need this, 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 and this. And I try them on and they're like, oh, you know what, I just don't know because I won't know until I put my actual insert in, my foot insert. And I was like, then literally all you're looking for is
the look
of the shoe. Because if the shoe doesn't look good to you, you're going to take out all the feeling of it.
Right.
By putting your soul into it. That sounds so, like, epic. Putting your soul into it.
Right. Yeah, put the insert. Yeah.
So neutral is for flat. Stability is for people that have it. Also, though, it's kind of that fun rectangle is a square, but a square is not a rectangle thing.
Uh-huh.
Where if you... have an arch, you can still use the neutral ones. If you're neutral, if you have flat foot, I wouldn't go towards the stability.
The thing is, though, whenever I go get fit for shoes, they always put me in a high stability shoe. They put me in an arch one because I'm flat.
See, and I always don't put you in it because I find that that makes it more uncomfortable.
It does at first, but eventually the theory is, which
I've thrown
out the window. The flatter your foot, the more pronation that you have, the more rotation towards the midline of your body with your foot. So therefore, the more support you need in that area, pushing you back into a neutral position. So a neutral foot would, like your kind of arches, wouldn't need that kind of support because you already have it. So if I would go to, there's a place in Walnut Creek, the Athletic Outpost, you know, got fitted there, and they wanted me to wear a high support shoe because I have no support, or had no support in my foot. But now I have a pretty sweet arch. You know, look at that. Not bad at all. I built it up because I went to the minimalist. Now, I'm not saying go to a minimalist shoe automatically, but I love my Vibrams. My next purchase will probably be some Nike Freeze because I like that shoe. But I think there's a lot to be said about the actual structure of your foot as well.
And that's kind of where the debate comes in with the stability and the neutral and all that fun stuff. I don't buy that concept.
I really don't either.
That by just putting pressure on something, it's going to... Basically, the concept is that if you wear a shoe that pushes up where your heel, like where your sole of your foot should be...
Arch of your foot.
The arch of your foot should be, it's eventually going to dent it to the extent that you have an arch.
But here's the thing. My dad works in construction. He's an engineer. Puts in insulation, right? If you were to talk to him, an architect, your dad even, you were to tell him, you know what I want to do? I want to put support right under an arch in a building. They would laugh in your face.
Oh, yeah.
They would say, that is the most ridiculous concept you could ever come up with. Because you don't support an arch from that position.
You wouldn't, because it would break in half.
Exactly, because the structural concept of an arch is the sides push together to support one another. If you put support under it, you're actually lessening the integrity of the arch, making it weaker.
And that's why we go neutral to neutral, like to a neutral foot, and the stability to a stability foot, so that it arches, like the
meets your
arch
foot.
Of the sole, like the sole of the pad of the shoe, meets the arch of the foot and just cups it.
Right, it's just
so
kind of hanging out.
It's kind of like, I know this is a weird visual, but it's kind of like an inverted bra. It kind of just holds it in place, the sole of your foot.
Right, so that you don't, press
into it. So that doesn't sag and get gross.
Right, exactly.
Boobs.
We love them. So, yes, you're going to meet a lot of people who have a differing opinion than Tyler and I, because I agree with Tyler's way of putting on shoes, but if you go to any major shoe company that specializes in running, they're gonna, if you have flat feet, put you in high stability. If you have high arches, they'll put you in neutral, and they'll never put you in minimalist.
Yeah, and it's that concept of interesting, just people believe one theory and some people believe another theory.
Right.
And I tend to believe the theory that if you have an arch, go with the one that has the arch, and if you don't have an arch, go with the one that doesn't have an arch.
Yeah. So, and I'm also of the mindset that running shoes are a failed experiment.
Oh, yeah.
Like, before, let's look at the history of this. Before 1972, Nike, 1972 is when Nike came out with their first running shoe.
Okay.
And since then, running injuries have not only increased, but we've come out with new running injuries. Plantar fasciitis, Achilles tendonitis, like all these like things have increased and been created because of the running shoe.
Okay.
Because before that, we were running in track flats and leather-soled shoes, and that was it. We had no heel strike, we had no arch support, none of it.
Fully agree. Oh, there's aspects of shoes that I also want to talk about since we got some time.
Because I like to rant about the whole...
No, I'm going to rant a little bit, and I literally do this, and my manager kind of got a little bit angry with me, but then I told him all that I'm about to tell you, and he was like, well, just don't talk as loud. So, yeah. My manager knows that I'm a personal trainer, so usually when somebody comes in that wants an athletic shoe, they automatically give it to me because
I know
my stuff in that realm. My favorite is that this woman comes in the other day, and she's like, I need new shoes. I just bought these ones. I still get shin splints. And I was like... That really has nothing to do with the shoe.
It has everything to do with how you actually run.
And I told her that, and my manager was like, why didn't you sell her shoes? And I was like, because she didn't need new shoes. She needed to learn how to run. And I sold her a pair of shoes, but I also talked to her about learning how to run.
That's good.
But there's technology that now is in shoes that I don't fully concur with. There is... We'll first go with the one that's pretty easy to just dispense. Is like Nike puts air in the sole of their foot, in their shoes. Like you can see the Nike Air Max, and literally you can see that there is little pockets of airs in your shoe. It is the weirdest concept. I get it, but at the same time I don't. It's kind of one of those, in theory, this should work.
Right.
Those shoes will last you about 3 months because you will pop them.
Right.
And see them pop on a regular basis.
It's the same concept as air mattresses and water beds. Like, you think, oh, it's going to be so great. It's going to be, like, floating. But in actuality, the support's so variable with your body, it actually hurts you.
Yeah. So I would stay away from the air anythings.
Yep.
The other shoe that I would stay away from, and this one cracks me up. I actually think this shoe looks extremely sexy on girls, but I would never use it.
The Skechers?
No.
Shape Up?
No, the Skechers Shape Ups, no.
We talked about that on an earlier episode. We are not fans.
No. But what was I going to say? I think it looks extremely sexy on girls because it's literally like working out with a high heel. It's called Nike Shox.
Oh, yeah.
Literally, they give you in your heel a inch in, like, raise. So the whole workout, you are raised like a high heel.
I've seen those. Those are so bad.
They are sexy if you want to just look athletic and walk around wherever.
Right.
Awesome. Wear them. Have a blasty blast. But do not work out in them, let alone run in them.
What are they called again?
Nike Shox.
Shox.
It's Shox.
Oh, I see. Oh, yeah. I've seen guys wear these, too.
Yeah, there's. I mean, every shoe that I'm telling you, they have them in the guy realm, too. But I work in women's shoes, so.
Got it.
Look at the pink one. The pink one's really hot.
Well, okay, hold on.
But, okay. But then
Sorry, I went, no, I think it was really funny. We both got caught up there.
So,
interesting.
Then, the other shoe that is pretty new in the technology is that they are, now a lot of companies are dealing with gel.
Yeah.
As stuff, and I get more of that concept, where they will work gel into the foam in certain aspects of it, so that when you're running and doing things, instead of shooting the pressure back up to your knee,
uh-huh.
The theory is that the gel absorbs it. It's kind of that if you were to get the gel and put it on a table,
uh-huh.
The amount of gel that's in your shoe, and drop a pebble on it, it bounces really little and then stops. Where if you were to do it on just the foam, it bounces higher. Does that make sense?
Yeah, but let's talk about the variance in pressure of a pebble versus the thousands of pounds that's going through body when I run.
I get that, but out of the three, that's the one that makes the most sense to me.
I see. Okay.
And, but in the realm of it, those are the only three options you have. Is nowadays, it's either you're completely foam, which I approve of, is fine, whatever.
Right.
Then there's the gel stuff, which I get, I approve of, and whatnot. No, there's actually better ones. Then, that's the mesh.
Oh. Ew.
Yeah, I know. Type in Max.
What?
I think that's it. No, that's not it. That's it's like black, white, and pink. The
this?
Shock is pink.
This one?
Yeah, I think that could be it.
Okay. We're still looking for the Nike Shox.
Nike Shox that are.
That Tyler thinks are sexy.
Yeah. No, those aren't them.
Oh, that's.
Those aren't them.
Ew.
But.
All right.
They basically. Go foam or gel, stay away from the Shox, and stay away from the air.
Pretty much, you don't want anything that's going to elevate your heel too much, because that creates, it's like you're, like Tyler was saying, walking in a high heel, or running in a high heel, and that's just not a healthy thing to do.
And that's, I mean, the thing that's frustrating is that the Shox are the most expensive, and the Air Max are the most expensive, and they're the two shoes that I hate.
Right.
Like, from a physical fitness sense, they're the awful. And I regularly will tell girls, do you think it's okay to work out in high heels? And if they answer yes, I hand them the Shox, have a blast, kill yourself.
Right.
Literally what I...
Have you had women say that?
Oh, yeah.
Are they high?
Oh, they are. I talk to idiots all day long.
Are they like... No, seriously, do they come in on drugs?
This one woman was like, I can only work out in the Shox. And I was like, please explain to me why. And she's like... My doctor says, this is when I start dying in my head.
Let me finish the whole logic.
Is that she needs to work out in the shocks because it elevates her spine and thus giving her less back problems.
It's the most retarded thing I've ever heard.
I just nodded at her and went, all right, you. Which ones would you like? The blue or the pink ones? The pink? Awesome. Let me go get that in your size. She didn't even try them on.
Oh, my gosh.
I just sold them to her. I wasn't going to argue with her.
This pisses me off more than anything. You and I are not doctors, correct?
Mm-hmm.
We don't prescribe medicine.
Correct.
We don't do surgery.
Correct.
We, you know, don't do physicals, x-rays, none of that, right? Don't prescribe those kind of things.
Yes.
Okay, then why the hell do doctors think it's okay for them to prescribe fitness and give fitness advice when they don't know shit about it? It pisses me off. They take maybe a week's worth of courses in fitness and rehabilitation stuff and like application, and then after that they know nothing. Like nutrition, blah, 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 all this stuff. Most doctors know crap about that. It pisses me off. Like, yes, I understand 90% of personal trainers suck. But there's that 10 to 15% of us that are actually really good at our jobs. And we know that biomechanically, like what to do with someone who has an injury. We know what to do with someone who has come back from surgery. And we know what to do with people to fix them after rehab. We know this. And to think that you know better just because, oh, put them in a shock shoe because it elevates your spine. And no, that's actually stupid. Because what that's
you're hurting them.
You're putting them in an anterior pelvic tilt, putting more shear pressure onto the lower spine, and she's probably going to need a disc replacement in the next 2 months. Like, let's not lie. That pisses me off. Doctors, like, yes, I respect them, but they need to be put in their place. Like, everyone just says, oh, my doctor this, my doctor that. Yes, I respect your doctor. He knows more about the joint movement and everything like that within a clinical realm. But when it comes to making you right and functional again, F you, doctor.
Well, like, the thing that's funny is that I've been to doctors multiple times for my shoulder. You've been multiple times for your wrist.
Right.
I have never had a doctor fix my shoulder.
Really?
I will never give credit to a doctor for fixing my shoulder. Will I classify that my shoulder is 100%? No. But I personally, after getting my personal like training stuff and all that stuff, learning, I fixed my shoulder.
Right.
When I was doing my shoulder, we're now going on a rant of doctors, but that's funny. Whatever.
Yeah. Because this is important.
No, this is important. It's kind of that don't trust everything. Don't trust us. If you don't believe what we're saying, look it up, find out, and argue with us. Email us at podcast@truefitnessacademy.com. I would love to help figure out whatever you have an issue with. But like with my shoulder, I dislocated it. I have tendon. This is all that I will give credit to the doctors for, is that they classified.
They diagnosed it.
Diagnosed my issues. So I dislocated my shoulder. I've had not so good of muscles around it. So I had tendonitis and arthritis at 20
in my shoulder.
Yeah. You shouldn't have arthritis ever, technically, but at 20 is kind of ridiculous. So they classify it. They then send me to personal physical therapist. I went, just for the sake of argument, I went 10 times. To be honest with you, it was probably more like 7, but 10's a nice and easy number.
Right.
I would take off my shirt within seconds of being there.
Oh, yeah.
They would throw weird gel on me and then put sensors onto my shoulder and would just throb it. Like, it would just pulse my muscles, and my muscles would constrict and contract. Constrict and contract? That was really scientifical. And I would do that for 20 minutes, and then I'd go home.
Really?
Nothing would happen. Like, my actual shoulder itself felt worse for 3 days afterwards. So then I started complaining to my doctor, oh, let's shoot up with steroids.
Awesome.
That's cool. And at this time in my life, I really wasn't working out. So I was kind of pissed, because if I would have been, I would have been like, hey, let's start steroids and let's commit to this if we're going to do the steroid thing. first shot of it for 3 days.
Is this the one where you passed out?
Thanks for showbizing me. You totally killed the end of the story.
Oh.
First one felt fine. I was good, whatnot. The second one, I passed out while giving the shot. It was awful. From that moment on, I was like, screw all doctors, and thanks for the diagnosis, I'll figure it out.
And yes, I've had great interactions with certain doctors, but another quick story. Like, again, we're not trying to one-up doctors, but
when it
comes to, physical fitness, we know more than they do. That's a proven, I've talked to them about fitness, and they're like, yeah, that's your area. That's not me. That's not my area.
Well, it's kind of a thing where I can build a wall, but if a contractor would like to come up and help me, I for sure will let them.
Absolutely, because my wall will fall down within, 3 years.
You know, I'm sure that their wall is going to be 100 times better than my wall.
Right.
I can make one, but theirs is going to be better.
Right. Another example, I sent my little brother, Giv. I was like, okay, Giv, this is what the doctor's going to tell you. Because he hurt his shoulder, right? They're going to tell you to do these. I told him exactly what exercises they're going to tell him to do, right? And this is what they're going to want you to do, blah, 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 blah. He goes into the doctor, and the doctor starts talking to him. He says, wait, let me ask you something. And he says, this is what my brother told me. And he showed him all the exercises that I showed him to do. The doctor's like, yeah, just do those. You can go home.
Oh, yeah.
I loved it. It was the funniest thing I've ever heard. It was beautiful. Oh, it cracked me up.
But, so yeah, it's kind of, I know we've kind of got off topic, but the key to what I really want to get across in this podcast is, A.
Don't trust doctors. No, I'm kidding. Trust your doctor.
Trust your doctor, but always take it a little bit with a grain of salt. Kind of the same concept that you should be doing with us when we talk to you.
Right.
Is when your doctor says you have gonorrhea, I would believe him. But, if your doctor says that you have tendonitis in something, you know, kind of
do some research.
What is tendonitis? What does that mean? You know,
right.
How could I have got that? So often they diagnose, but they don't really treat the problem. They treat the symptoms.
Exactly. And what they'll go for a lot of times, because most people aren't willing to go through the longer process to have it healed correctly. So they'll give you the short-term answer. The short-term answer for Achilles tendonitis is going to be an insert or, you know, a massage or whatever it's going to be for that doctor, as opposed to the actual hard work of fixing how you walk and fixing how you run so that you can biomechanically correct.
Yeah.
So in my mind, I think I've mentioned this on the podcast before. If Tyler, you were teaching someone how to swim, you would not put them in a wetsuit to fix their stroke, would you?
No.
Running is the only activity where we put people in a restrictive mold to fix their quote-unquote stroke, their gait. We don't do it for running, but we don't do it for swimming, dancing, you know, gymnastics, anything else. We don't put a constraint around it to fix how we move. So that, to me, is dubious in and of itself.
Yeah.
Okay, so go check out some shoes, you know. I feel like there's one other thing we should talk about. There's the six-month rule. Have you heard about this?
No.
You should replace your shoes every 6 months, roughly. Well, how do you feel about that? Of course, depending on usage, etc.
Yeah, depending on usage and whatnot, I tend to lean on the side of, when in doubt, throw it out.
Got it.
It's kind of, you will notice that some shoes tend to wear a lot faster, start to look, yeah, the sole will still be intact, you know, like the foam and whatnot, but the shoe just isn't supporting you as well and stuff like that. I say throw those out.
Okay.
I mean, not so much of 6 months. If you're using it every day, yeah, I guess 6 months would be roughly.
Yeah.
A time period, but I know some people that have had shoes for 8 years.
Yeah, I'm a fan of just of working my shoes to death, in all honesty. Oh, my phone's ringing. That's funny. I think my grandfather's calling me. But I'm a fan of using the shoe up until the day it dies. Because, there's marathoners who wear their shoes, they buy the $30 cheapo shoes, run in them for multiple marathons. Well, then what they do, they'll switch feet. They're running in the wrong foot. So your right foot's on the left and the left foot's on the right. And they'll run in those to change the wear pattern.
Huh.
Yeah, so one pair of shoes lasts them like 30 races.
That's interesting.
Yeah. So it's only, and they're fine, injury free. So I, you know, I'm dubious of the, I mean, it's one of those things. Wait, who's telling us that we need to change our shoes every 6 months? Oh, the people who are selling us shoes. Interesting. I mean, you know, when advice comes from people who are selling you the thing, then, I mean, yeah.
It's hard to believe them.
Hard to believe them. So we've gone here, there, and everywhere, but yeah, go check out some shoes. If you're in Walnut Creek, go to Nordstrom's. Check out Tyler and his shoes.
And my shoes.
And we will, yeah, he'll hook you up or something.
Yeah, we'll see what we can do.
Great. Well, that about wraps us up for today. Tyler, why don't you take us out?
I will leave you with lettuce.
Ooh, a delicious treat. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow. Have a great day. Peace. Got a glimpse in the bathroom mirror of a man with his pick of girls. One of nice, one of grease in his pillow. One of name he don't want to know. No.